Michelle, a very good evening and thanks for tuning in to Terrace Talk here on Radio Kerry, coming live as always from our studio here in Tralee. Myself, Donal Barry, until night show, until 8pm this evening, as we look back at some of the games from this week's Garvey's Super Value Senior Football Championship, with all the action, of course, getting underway this week. 8 games, plenty winners and losers, and the draws come up as well. John Kennedy, Liam Brosnan will be on just after 6.20 this evening, along with Andrew Moynihan, and we'll discuss that. And then after 7.15 this evening, we catch up with some players who were, I suppose, the early trendsetters in Camogie, as we look back at what it was like in the early 70s to play Club Camogie. Certainly a good show on that. But first we start, and in many ways we kind of end as well, with the Keane's Super Value Minor Football Championship, a competition that, believe it or not, started in this very studio with the draw, the controversial draw, huh? Absolutely. And of course we're going to end this evening speaking to the winners, of course, St. Cairns, this time last week, getting well nervous ahead of the game, of course, taking on Austin Stacks and winning what was a real riveting final as well. Delighted to be joined by Daniel Murphy, Tim Donohoe, Michael Horn and Owen Moriarty. Michael Horn, is it? It's settling in, is it?
It is, yeah.
A week on.
Huh.
Yeah, was it a good week?
It was a good week.
Yeah, was it nice to kind of go home with the cup and back to school and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, it was a nice feeling, all right.
Yeah, but it's an unusual enough feeling for St. Cairns, man, because it's only, what, the third time in a long time, is it, or the third time ever to do it? Come here, when the final whistle went the last evening, you got the cup, you went up the steps, you collected your trophy, well deserved, and you come down. What's the moment after that like? What's it like when you celebrate with family and friends, and are they all, you know, mad to celebrate with you? Are you doing selfies, or are you doing interviews with newspaper? What's it like just after that time?
I suppose just happy out, really. We put a lot of work in all year, and just great spend time with teammates and coaches and stuff after.
That's the real GA talk, isn't it? Spend time with the whole lot. You're on Terrace Talk now. You can talk a bit loose about it. Owen Moriarty, were you even happier?
I was, no, in fairness.
Oh, you see, that was a good answer. No, I was, in fairness, yeah.
It was special enough, no, in fairness. Like, yeah.
What did the family say to you when you went home?
Ah, she's well done, that kind of thing. Like,
did they say, God, you should have won it quicker than that, and God knows you left your man ahead of you a few times? Or
a small bit of that talk, all right, for sure. Every family's the same.
It is special family, because if you think about it, in the same few as well, Michael, I mean, these are the gang that brought you to the field the very first day when you were, what, 4 or 5, and put you in there to play, and you I suppose, endured all those under-7 and 9 blitzes and back to school and what, under-13, under-15 championships, and now you get to minor level, which, to be very fair, it's the most elite level at this grade, and I suppose it's a level that a lot of people are going to watch now as well. It was on television, it was on radio, live, and the whole lot, and a lot of people are going out the gate talking about Michael Horn and Owen Moriarty now for the first time.
No, it is not, in fairness, it's a great feeling, and it's well deserved.
Yeah. We were speaking to the manager. Were you under pressure with a couple of minutes to go, were you?
Do you know, like I was saying, I think it was Padraig really beside me, so our hearts were beating as fast as the players. We felt like we were out there for the last 4 or 5 minutes, but no, look, we're very proud of the lads. Like Mike said there, look, an awful lot of effort went into it. And not just from ourselves, but obviously the players themselves. They made a big commitment over the last number of months, and I suppose that just doesn't just happen. Mm-hmm. We want to acknowledge the clubs as well, you know, even during the month of July when, I suppose, when the club championships were on, they still allowed us to train as well, which is really, really important, because, look, as a divisional side, mm-hmm. you're trying to create a club-like feel, and you'll only get that through kind of consistently kind of meeting and engaging with each other. So, no, look, we're
and that's a slow enough process at the start to get that club-like feeling, particularly with a district, because I suppose some people will say, look, it's weight and numbers with clubs and the whole lot, but it's not that at all, really. I mean, when it comes down to it, it's about getting the right gel with the mixture, the players, and getting that bond. And you don't have that much time to work with them either.
No, we don't, but, you know, look, a lot of lads have played together with the schools as well, you know, and there's a lot of good work going on the schools locally too, like, so they're familiar enough with each other, I suppose. But look, for us, it's just trying to add another layer, another percentage, and trying to develop the whole group too. I suppose, unfortunately for us, when we started the championship, we were down 2 or 3 bodies, 2 or 3 of our Kerry minors weren't available to us in the group, mm-hmm. so we were conscious of that too. It was very important for us to go, to develop the whole group. And I think it was something like 26, 27 players we used throughout the championship. And, you know, each one of them was as valuable to us as the next, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And that's important too.
Yeah. The nature of the championship as well, the group stages, I mean, it gives you kind of a sound footing to have your couple of games as well, where you can play your extra number of players as well. That's a benefit, is it?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I suppose, like, week on week, it's great in a way. But I suppose if you get knocks and niggles, that presents its own issue. Like, but yeah, there's a flow to it. Like, when it's every week, and it runs off fast. But I suppose that's why we were very conscious of having maybe the 6 or 7 weeks of a build up in terms of preparation, because yeah, I suppose you're not going to train that hard or not going to meet that after once a week, maybe in between the games. So it's very important for us to meet those two, three nights a week for the 6 or 7 weeks up to tour. So it gives us a good base going into it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Tim, you enjoyed the big process, did you?
I did.
Yeah, a winner at last, huh?
Well, I was a winner 30 years ago, so it's not too bad.
Were you one of Liam Preston's buddies, were you?
I don't know, I'd say the twin was the buddy. He was getting a pass off Liam, I was getting no passes off him.
You were the family.
I was, yeah.
Good stuff.
No, it was absolutely unbelievable. These boys are, the group we had 27, 30 players, started the year then, got us together maybe April the 13th. So
off season,
yeah. Plenty of scouting. He sent me off scouting for games, and I went back to Ballymac and Mitchell's one night, and my young fella here says to me, "Dad, Ballymac are drawn out. Dolan Barry's after drawn out the boys."
I know, yeah. Didn't we upset every, didn't we?
It is. There was a bit of confusion, I suppose, that night, right? But
it's great to be popular.
It was sorted straight away.
Yeah. The clans came together fairly quickly, did it?
We did, yeah.
Yeah, good stuff.
The plan together. I think Mikey said something on after that. That was the brains, but I think Dan was the brains himself and Podge O'Grady.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Speak to me. Look, you're a Cordell man, obviously. Speak to me from a Cordell perspective of having players in a district team and making a district team work that you get over the line at the end of it, because you don't often get over the line. I mean, there's so many districts that
only
that
three
are there.
Times since 88. Mm-hmm. 2009, I think, Eamon Welsh, Sean Og, and I think the famous Liam outside. The three of them were involved, and they beat a good South Kerry team.
Yeah.
So I think we had five on that time. Donald McCarthy, Philip Connor, you might have heard of him. So
still hanging around the place.
Still hanging around, doing a bit of football.
Yeah.
So, and a couple of more lads. So, but there's a lot of work behind the scenes in all the clubs. Dan would say Dan is involved with Scart under 7s. I was involved with Cordell under 13s, 11s. It's not just St. Kieran's. We put the work in underage. So. Yeah.
Because you have to keep the wheel going then, don't you? I mean, you can't just rest on one kind of generation of kids going through 11, 13, 15.
No, you have
to look after next year's and the next year's. Because ultimately, I suppose, at the end of it, when you get to senior level, you're only going to pick maybe two or three or four from every age group that goes through.
You're trying to develop. Obviously, as you go on throughout the years, and you're trying to build something and hopefully that propels into under 21s and into senior level as well. So, look, we've been very competitive at senior level, but we just haven't got to, I suppose, the rub of the green or whatever, maybe to get to finals and stuff like that. They're hard to get to, Donald.
It's a competitive nature. I mean, there's a lot of good teams there now at the moment at the higher level as well, where sometimes you look at a team and you say, God, how haven't they won something with the amount of great players? But the fact is there's another district or another team with just at that moment in time as good or if not better players.
Yeah, look, sure, we're in a county we're privileged to be from Kerry and being a county that it's anything you win, you cherish and you appreciate and you enjoy it. So, look, it's very hard to win cups and medals. That's why I urge the boys, and I said to them, even in Jess Room after, is to appreciate the moment you're in. Do you know, sometimes these lads are in a rush to do everything, rush to play football, rush to go to the next place. It's very important to sit back and relax and enjoy the moment that you've had as well, because, look, like we said in the change room after, it might be the only time or the last time they'll be in the change room together, fellas go to college, work, different teams, etc. So it's very, very important to appreciate that moment, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Come here, talk us through the whole championship. Group stage, three games in the first round. Take us through it, Michael.
I suppose we got off to a good start, first round against Austin Sex. I suppose we knew going into that was probably going to be our
tough game. Was that at home or away? Where was that?
That was away in Tralee. Okay. That was a very tough game. And then we had Legion and Khmer. They were good games as well. Lots of players got games. And then we had a big one in the quarter final against West Kerry. I was kind of laid down a mark, and I thought we played well. Thought we played very well.
Do you think that when you got to the quarter final that the level kind of moved up a bit? I mean, when you're playing kind of the league round games as such, I mean, I suppose the teams are graded differently and there's some stronger and weaker and all that. But when you get to the quarter finals, I mean, did you know at that stage, this is it, from here on in, it has to be win, win, win?
Yeah, I suppose from then on, then we knew we had to perform. We were playing against better teams, and West Kerry was a big challenge for us, but thankfully we got through it.
Do you enjoy going out in those games? You go out in the games where fellas will say, well, look, that's Michael Horne, we'll close him down now, and we'll have to mark him, and we'll have to keep tight with him. Does that improve your own game when you kind of hear that, or maybe you don't hear it at all, do you? They'd be saying it anyway, come on.
Every game's the same, really.
Okay, semi-final was?
Yeah, semi-final was East Kerry. We got off to a poor start.
Yeah.
But we were kind of lucky to go in half-time level, but then at half-time we kind of got a bit of a bollocking off of Hodge.
Yeah.
And that kind of snapped us into form then, and we came out and we played really well then in the second half.
Are you disappointed when you go in? You're a great team, you know that you have great players, you've bounced through the group stages, you've performed really well in quarterfinal, and then for some reason, unknown to yourself, the first 15 or 20 minutes, you're just not performing. Do you go in at half-time wondering, what's that about, or do you kind of lean on the coaches to kind of find out, do you know, this is a few things that we need to fix here and we'll be okay? Yeah.
You'd be disappointed, all right, going in, because you know you can play better, and like every player like has another 10-15% to give. But it's just about kind of finding that then, coming out in the second half, just keep the head and go out then, just play your own game then in the second half and add to the team.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Getting over the line against East Kerry, how big was that for you?
Oh, it was massive. Like, we came under pressure then there in the last 5-10 minutes. Again, look, that kind of built a bond between us. And like we said, one more game, go win it, and we'll be going champions then after the end of it.
Now, when you're in a final then, Michael, I mean, it is just one more game. You're within grasp of that. You're within grasp of that cup, that medal. I suppose that piece of history, do you know, I mean, so many great St. Cairns players at minor level got to live but didn't get to the final, didn't have a chance of winning a final, and, you know, and you have all that kind of history, and you have the clubs probably backing you as well, saying, God, the last Melly Mac man to win this, or the last Cordell man to win that, or the last Scart man to win that. You have all that kind of building up. Was there that kind of pressure going into the final, or as a 17-year-old, do you really care at all?
Well, I suppose 2 years ago we lost the final. There was a small bit of hurt from that, but we had to get around back this year. And no, it was a big game for us. All right, thankfully we got through it.
Yeah. That hurt, I mean, how does that translate itself? Does that kind of like, you know, you lost and you say, God, we really were better than that? Sometimes you lose a game, you walk off the field and you kind of know you gave your best, but it just wasn't good enough. But then there's times you play a game and you play really well and you still don't win, and are they the harder ones to lose?
I suppose we didn't really perform that night at all. We didn't really show up on the night, but we knew we had to perform last week, and we knew a big performance was needed.
Yeah. Is that something a coach can channel, you know, that kind of hurt as well? You know, that you often hear that you lose one along the way before you win one. And
yeah, that's a big thing too, Donald. But I suppose for the boys, even at half-time in the final, I suppose there was no panic, because, look, we could reflect back on the semi-final where there was two stages in the first half, we were down 5 points. And, you know, I suppose half-time has been good to us, the semi-final and the final. It's just given us an opportunity to maybe reset and talk to the lads, because sometimes Austin Sex is so vast, it's very hard to get instruction onto the lads and just to settle them down a small bit, you know. And, that's a big thing. Like, you can always reflect back on previous performances, and, like I often say to the lads, they'll be laughing, is nothing more winning comes without a struggle or a sacrifice. And
of course,
you know, we struggle a long way, and that makes it all the sweeter then when you get on top, you know.
Yeah, there's different moments of the championship that you kind of build a bit of character, whether it is a block or whether it is a goal or whether, you know, it is kind of coming back. St. Cairns, two in a row now, I suppose, is it? Pressure on straight away?
We look at it. No, it's a third 9 or 10 from the squad. They'll be there next year. Mm-hmm. About 4 or 5 of the backs. So we might change Mikey's birth cert for next year. We might hold on to him for another year.
Might move him back.
Yeah. We'll see. But no, like Dan was saying, like, we never panicked. The boys never panicked. There was a lot of team leaders there. Mm-hmm. A lot of fellas that played with the county. Killian, Dinahy, Jack. And we'd got our old Coughlin from Ballymac, great players.
How important is that county experience coming into a group at this level? I mean, how does it manifest itself in a dressing room? Can you see them as better kind of leaders, speakers? Do the other lads look up to them, or
yeah,
for their autographs?
Absolutely.
Or something?
No, they do look up to them. They look at them, but I'm just looking at the team now and the squad. We had a lot of leaders as well, not alone the Kerry boys, fellas coming on from the bench, making an impact. We had fellas that could be dropped and start the next day. So everyone led, and we had plenty of trust in all the lads.
Yeah.
100%.
It's very important there, Donal, at that point. Of course, you're going to lean on probably some of the names that jump off the page, but if you're going to lean on them completely, then look, when it comes to the crunch, then you're going to be in trouble. Like, it's very, very important that you value the whole group, and you trust in the whole group, and that they're the lads that get you over the line then in the end, you know.
How important was that goalkeeper save just before half-time?
Yeah, it was a big moment actually. Yeah,
you know, I mean you're going in what 9-5 down as opposed to maybe 1-8 to 5 points.
It was a big moment really. Just wanted to get in at half time really in touching distance, and I suppose the clear message in at half time was look, let's try and can we affect the scoreboard positively initially, like, and look, we were very lucky within the first 2 minutes we got 1-1, and look, this gave us huge confidence then going in for the rest of the second half, and then obviously the second goal was a huge momentum thing. I felt it myself, even within the lads, it was huge confidence that came from the second goal, because it was the first time we led in the match in the 46th minute, and look, it gave the lads confidence and to just drive on towards the end, you know.
It's a nice time to take the lead too, isn't it?
Indeed, kind of
like to have the momentum. Come here, he's not here, we were talking about the two goals, huh? Which one of you are going to blow him up a bit bigger than he's already? Huh? How good were the two goals?
No, in fairness to Jack, they were two great goals. He's a great finisher. He was in the championship, and no, he probably don't need to be told, but like...
No, or go and tell him. He might be listening. The parents might be listening or something.
No, in fairness, we'll give it to him. He scored. He delivered on the day.
Yeah, good stuff. You're not anything to add to that?
No. I suppose not. in fairness, they were good team goals though as well. Like,
oh yes, very good.
Like, sure, like the second goal there in the final, like Killian made a great run down the centre. Yeah. Mike gave it to Mike, and then sure Jack was there at the back post. Mm-hmm. Like, if Killian didn't make that run, that goal doesn't happen. Like,
absolutely.
So it just adds
the second goal.
Everyone, like,
as Daniel has said, that was kind of the crucial one, or maybe it was the one that you kind of felt like, yeah, it's going to go right from here on in. How good a goal was it on the field, when you're on the field and you're watching it?
Oh, jeez, it was massive, like. It's just, I don't know, it's just, you could just feel like everything's kind of going your way now at the moment.
Like, every pass was perfect, and every movement was perfect, and you're there in the field, and you can see the running off the ball, and you're saying, God, pass it, pass it, pass it, is it?
Yeah, it's like, just everything's going right then, and like you just kind of know, like, we're in a good place now, and just keep the heads, and we'll have it. Like,
super. Come here. We'll talk about school football, because obviously you're probably back straight away with schools. Two different schools, of course.
Yeah.
God, is Fergus Clifford looking after you? Is he?
Oh, jeez, no, he's not with us now this year.
He's moved on somewhere else.
Oh, yeah, he's teaching me maths now, for sure.
Oh, he's a great maths teacher. I went to school with him, actually, very good at maths. You learn maths out. Tralee CBS.
Yeah.
You are St. Pat's?
Yeah.
Let's talk about St. Pat's for a second, because over the last number of years, they're a school that have kind of really pulled themselves up, and you're at the top level now, last year as well, the whole lot. Is it nice to be kind of playing at that level against the Tralee CBSs and the Mount Hawks and the bigger names, the Sims of the world? Does that kind of make it feel that, yeah, we've arrived now as well?
Yeah, I suppose it's great to be playing against the top schools in Munster. Like, I suppose last year was kind of our first year playing Corneree.
Yeah.
It was just kind of settling in, but hopefully this year we'll get out the group and go a long way.
Yeah. Tralee CBS, or are you just fixed for this year?
We're fine. Like, look, last year, like, we were kind of I wouldn't say unknown, but we were kind of we went a bit under the radar.
Yeah.
But now, like, after making the final there last year, we're kind of put on the map, and like, the teams will be out to get us this year. But it's just, we're kind of taking it game by game now. Like, just keep it. We can bear now next Wednesday. So it's just.
Yeah, the competition starts very soon, because normally it was the other side of Christmas, but now it is this side of Christmas. So you go back in. Do you feel that kind of a benefit, because you're after coming off all the fine training that Daniel has done for you? They've nearly done the work for the colleges.
Yeah, it's handy enough. Like, you just, like, you want to be playing football.
Yeah.
Like, and for me personally, like, I don't want to be just in the gym. I want to be out on the pitch playing football.
Game after game, kind
of. That's it, yeah. And just keep playing. Because that's where you get better, like, so.
How many sex boys are on the team with you?
Oh, Jesus, though, hushed up. There's a few of them now going to school there.
What was that like? What was that going
staff,
back? Did you have a bit of crack with them?
You don't want to say something, like, but no, since the last few days, no, it's just a bit of out of the middle now, like, that kind of thing. You know,
so you can't overly celebrate. I presume you celebrated Madden St. Pat's, did you?
No, we did a good few nights, all right.
I saw a bit of footage where he kind of laid down the corridor, and there was about, 19,000 people lined up and into the assembly.
Oh yeah, sure. No, it's good to mark the occasion.
Did you make speech?
I gave a few words, alright, yeah.
Oh my God. Are you comfortable with speeches? Or is it more like, I prefer just leave me alone, leave me play the football?
Yeah, I prefer to be left alone, to be honest.
Good stuff. Come here, Dan, the future is very bright. You can't win a minor without people saying, oh God, there's a senior championship in these in 5 years, 10 years. But that's not the way it kind of manifests itself, because minors gone back to 17. I mean, there's still a big gap. So maybe 21's is the next one you might be looking at?
Yeah, that's a good point, Donald, because you know, sometimes when you're in the middle of the madness, and even the people that are watching you forget that these lads are only 15, 16, 17 years of age, and they're there's a long way for development for them. rather than the next step, like you said, is probably under 21s rather than, you know, previously it was under 18s and you're going straight to seniors. But yep. I think under 21s would be the next step, really, do you know what I mean? Rather than rushing it through to seniors and making sure, look, that they're doing the right things and they're, you know, so yeah. That's a big thing.
Tim, is there a few people to thank for the fantastic?
I suppose we better thank the
you better do the Anthony anyway. O'Gara bit, will you?
Yeah, I'll do, yeah. Desmond's and Cordell helped us out a lot with the fields.
I mentioned Desmond's first.
Yeah, well, because
they gave you the field mostly, did they?
Well, good friends in Desmond's. So, John Kelly and Kevin Lynch helped us out. Morris Costello, you know Morris.
I do. He was helped us out. Very quiet yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Kilcomen Bet was there. William Curtin, chairman, helped us a lot with bibs and stuff. And the girls, Katrina Dinahy and Joanne Downey. But we're getting tops from the bathrooms for you, so like to thank them. So, and Adrian in the hotel,
right.
He got the boys their 7-ups and myself down a couple of pints after the final, so it helped us out.
God almighty.
Yeah.
There was no watches left or anything.
Dawn, I know you're touching it at the start. Yeah. I suppose, look, obviously we acknowledge the dedication and sacrifices that the players make, but I suppose at underage level, it's really important to acknowledge the parents.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're the ones that carry into the training sessions and the matches and the meetings, whatever. So, like, we thank them as well because, look, we've been very lucky to have a supportive parental network over the last number of months. Look, they've been out 2-3 nights a week. So,
yeah.
A big thanks to them as well. And obviously to, look, Patrick Greedy, my own club mate, who's involved in the management team, and Patrick Murphy and Tim here as well. Look, it's been really enjoyable. And I think the lads enjoyed it. Do you know, and I think that was a clear message for us is, like, there's only one winner in the county championship. And if you don't win it, let's enjoy it anyway. And I think we're lucky we came out on top.
Is it even a small bit more special? I don't mean it in a bad way, but I always harp on about the smaller clubs or I'm saying Michael Fymore, Scart, Cordell and the whole lot, because there is this element that, you know, the county championship should be for bigger clubs and not districts and the whole lot. And that's probably at the senior level and the whole lot. But to get so much right at this level for kids, to give them the chance to compete at the highest level so people can sit in Austin Sack Park and admire how fantastic these players are, that they wouldn't necessarily probably see maybe in a Division 7 or Division 9 if they're playing under 13 or 15. Is there a little bit more kind of, it's nice to see three Scart players on it, it's nice to see a couple of Cordell players on it. Is there a bit of that in it? Or
there's definitely a bit of that, Donal. Look, I suppose traditionally, like, we're probably a rural district, you know, outside of maybe Ballymac and Castle Island have the biggest picks, but the Knocknagashals, the Brusnas, the Scarts, the Curraghs, the Cordells, they're all small districts, and a lot of these players might be playing in lower division, so it's giving them an opportunity to play at the highest level and to get exposure for themselves as well, like, you know, to get them the opportunity maybe to wear a county jersey and to come as well, you know.
The picture and the paper and the whole lot.
Sure, this is it, yeah.
Absolutely. Sure, you wouldn't have heard who Liam Brosnan was only for the minor game that he won. Which one of these is going to be here in 30 years' time instead of Liam Brosnan? Obviously not you, Michael, because you're very uncomfortable with the whole thing, are you?
Owen.
You can be sitting there. I'm sure you'll be grand.
Maybe.
Talking about football and that kind of stuff.
Maybe, yeah.
Listen, boys, congratulations. It's absolutely fantastic. We bring the winners from everything. We had Belly Duff Miners in here. And funny enough, we had Podge. Podge was sitting there, real hurler.
Yeah.
And yeah, absolutely. And we had a couple really tough Belly Duff fellas, you know, who really treat it seriously. And it's fantastic because the one thing about the competitions, particularly at 15, because I know a bit about that as well in 17, the amount of work that goes in from every team that enters the competition, to be fair, because they all have the same kind of struggle as well, getting their panels together, getting training, the nights, and there's so much going on then as well. I mean, there's obviously crossover with different sports and the whole lot, and to get all that, and then to come out the other side of that, because every year there's only one winner, and this year it's St. Cairns. Congratulations. We'll take a break.
Thanks for coming.
Lovely. Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, there you go, to St. Cairns, Keane Super Valley County Minor Football Champions for 2024, and that ends another season. John Kennedy was first in to take his seat, Andrew's here as well. And Liam Brosnan was late as hell. You were deciding up to be a selector, Liam, was it?
I was shaking hands, Tim.
Hands, right?
Like a politician.
Sharing stories. Days of great glories, boy. Right, 8 games at the weekend. We'll go through this from now until 7:15 this evening. Andrew is with us as well. It's amazing that we wait all year for the county championship. Next thing, we have 8 games in one weekend. There's so much going on around the place. So we will try and mark your card as we go through it. First game was Kinmare versus Crokes. Andrew, take us through the game.
Yeah, I suppose Cork's have backed up their club championship success on their opening weekend. They're off in the county championship with a win. They did what they do so well. They control the tempo and the narrative of the game. Conceding two goals mightn't be vintage Cork's, but I think they limited Kimmare to 9 scorers in the game. They'll be happy with that. Tony Brosnan's penalty in the 27th minute was really the crucial score in that game. Kimmare always come with a challenge. That's always going to be expected of them. They had a goal early on from Shawnee O'Shea. It was a beautiful ball in from Darragh O'Connor. David Hallisey punched it to Shawnee, and it was a bit of a rebound, but he finished it. Crokes recovered and got the next 3 points. The game remained in the balance really up until Tony's penalty in the 28th minute for Crokes. It was a superb pen to the right of the keeper, and that really gave the platform for the win. They have the ability to take things up a notch really in the second half, and I think Micheál Burns really came to the fore. 2 points from play, and he really grows into the game. We saw it in the club final only a month ago. They can thank Shane Murphy, huge double save on Shawnee O'Shea's flick in the 55th minute to stop a certain goal for Kinmare. How important that will be in the county championship. It was unbelievable reflexes from him, and they had the lead extended to 7 heading into additional time. There was a goal from Shawnee O'Shea in the 59th minute. It reduced it to 4, but Crokes were deserved winners, and Tony Brosnan with 1-6 probably stood out in the day.
Liam Brosnan, Dr. Crokes, your second most favourite Black and Amber club that you support, you support the whole lot. Many people will say they are the side that are nearly fancied to put an end to East Kerry, if they are at all. Were you impressed with them?
I was impressed with them, because going down to Kilmare was always going to be a tough one for him. I thought Shawnee Shea was excellent, you know, watching it. He was like a man on a crusade himself. You know, but yeah, Crokes all over the field, very well balanced defensively. Gavin White took up Shawnee, which gave Fionn the kind of a licence to drive forward around the middle of the field. Thereafter, kind of putting Mike Potts in there to do a job with Mark O'Shea. No, yeah, Crokes seem to be a team that are like Andrew said, they can up the notches as it goes. And no, I thought it was always going to be a banana skin going down to Kilmare, but they came away with a hard fought victory. So I think that'll stand to them. And Kilmare are gone nowhere either yet.
Couple of issues in the game, couple of comments coming in. It's great to have people going to games and sending comments in the whole lot. Kilmare had a square ball. Was it a square ball? Kevin O'Sullivan in the square, 34th minute.
It looked like a square ball, yeah. It definitely did look like a square ball, yeah.
And then, of course, a couple of minutes later, Shane Murphy makes a couple of good saves. Yeah. One, I think he's maybe...
He's far ahead as well.
And there was a bit of a question mark about did it kind of hit the line and go back.
No, I doubt it, no.
We doubt it. As a good umpire.
As a good umpire, no. And even looking at the camera after, it didn't look as if it was...
There are a couple of questions. Kimir, comments coming in, soft enough old penalty.
It was, I suppose, when a player is in motion like that, any bit of a trip or anything like that, it doesn't give the referee much of a choice.
Yeah.
You know,
There was contact,
and he was running towards the ball, you know, and the pass was given for the player running towards the ball. So I would say it would have been a penalty from in my eyes, yeah.
All Gerry O'Sullivan's questions started over. we can move on fairly lively. Will Kinmare be kind of okay with the fact that, I suppose it was a shot to nothing, but I mean, they didn't lose anything. I mean, they kept going to the end. They got the goal as well. Lost the player, of course, which is sending off. It was kind of just a real dour committed kind of Kinmare, was it?
It was. And like I said, it was always going to be a test for both sides.
Yeah.
And I suppose Crokes coming down as club champions and Division 1 champions, and also Kilmare had a shot at them. But the only thing I found with Kilmare was that take Shawnee Shea out of them, scoring wise they struggled.
Yeah.
Now if they can up that, if a couple more fellas can chip in and offer a bit more on the scoreboard, they'll be hard to beat.
Yeah. It's probably one of the poorest returns of the weekend, 2-7-9 scores. I mean, now the other clubs definitely got more than 9, don't kind of way. But then I suppose you're playing Dr. Crokes as well, and look, they're quite good defensively. Next game, Nagail and Shannon Rangers, Andrew.
possibly the result of the weekend, Donal, to be fair. Their first county championship win in 2 years. They haven't reached the knockout stage since 2014, but they may be well on their way. What confidence that win will give them over the weekend. I think I'm impressed. They've built a solid base in that team. I see Jason Foley in the centre-back, Rob Stack in midfield, and former Kerry minor Jack Kennelly at full forward. Neither team gave each other an inch really in the first half. 1 point was on the margin. Rangers were a bit wasteful in attack, but they recovered in the second half. They began to turn on the burners really. Rob Stack got 3 points and including a 45 in the second half, and Jack Kennelly 8 points overall. They really came to the fore, and I suppose crucial score, 47th minute, Kim Goulding got a goal. It came from a Rob Stack free from 45 yards. It was a bit of a scramble inside. Nagail attempted to clear our lines, but Kevin Goulding got the dispossession, and it ended up with him with the ball once again. He got the goal. Had the vibe then that that was curtains really for the game. They grew their lead out to 8 points. Nagail got a consolation goal in 60 minutes, but yeah, a deserved win for Shannon Rangers. As I said, the confidence that'll give them for their game next weekend will be huge, and it's they're an exciting prospect.
John Kennedy, we spoke about Shannon Rangers over the last number of years. A lot of players are mentioned in his report. Are the players we mentioned last year? Shannon Rangers seem to be a little bit settled, maybe.
Yeah, and you know, Pat O'Driscoll, you know, he's there again. Great manager, seems to get the best out of them. You know, he's a great way with him. I think the vibes coming out before the game the weekend is not a lot of sessions done, but quality work done. But he went for youth. Some of the more familiar names that have been there over the last 10 years weren't there. And the likes of, you know, David Mulville there from Talbot, Brian Mason, Ty Carroll, you know, young Rochford up front, John Colhan, Evan Boyle. These are exciting young fellas. But I think for me, up the spine, Ty Carroll was very solid at fullback, but Jason Foley was outstanding.
Was that one of his best games with Shannon Rangers in a long time?
No doubt about it. And the boys, he brought them along with him. You know, he came back a few times and he won. His tackling was unbelievable. Robert Stack in midfield was, he was brilliant.
He's really developed, isn't he? I mean, he's Kerry under 20, of course, and the whole lot. And you've mentioned him last year. I mean, I remember they played the Crokes, was it last year or the year before? And he played really well at maybe wing back or something like that. He's a coming name. He's an exciting prospect. And then, of course, people are going to put a bit more pressure on him, say, is he ready for the big stuff? Is he developing towards that?
I think he's developing. You can know he had a process through the under-20s. He was captain. It didn't end up well for the Kerry under-20s, but he's carried that on.
Yeah.
Very disciplined guy. He's a great engine, good hands, you know, definitely deserves to be looked at. One of the players that needs to be looked at.
Yeah.
And then up front, Jack Kennelly, 8 points.
It's a great return, isn't it, in any county championship?
He doesn't miss too many, to be fair to him.
Yeah.
And, you know, the other side, like Andrew said there, look, is that 10 first half wides. The game should be out of sight. Now,
I thought they'd never scored one stage.
Yeah, to be fair to Nagail, though, you have to say they were down the two boys, Jack Barry and Dermot O'Connor. Huge loss. They have found it difficult to score this year. You know, their scoring is a problem. But regardless who you're playing, it's a result, and it's confidence, and it's a great boost for North Kerry. And, you know, Nagail, they will know they can do better. And they'll have to do better. But for Shannon Rangers, they're in the winner's side of the draw. They're guaranteed 2 games.
Yeah, and that's huge. I mean, they have a shot to nothing in the next game, and they have a game to follow as well, which is absolutely huge. The third game before we take the break, St. Cairns and West Kerry, Andrew.
Yeah, St. Cairns got off to the start, I suppose, they wanted a convincing win over West Kerry. I suppose Cairns would have been one of my teams to watch before the start of the club championship. 4 out of the 7 teams there would have reached the quarterfinal of their respective club championships. What a quick start they had. Paul Walsh had a goal inside a minute. They had a 3-point lead at the break, reduced to 14 men. Eddie Horan had a second yellow, but that could have made it, let's say, a different story in the second half, but they just reaffirmed their advantage. And I suppose West Kerry were without their talisman or main man, Brino Bugliuk. That is a huge loss, unfortunately. He might be back for the next game, not 100% sure there, but that's bound to have an impact. And Kieran's pushed on the final quarter, and they looked every bit the team with the extra play, and points from Walsh, I thought he was very impressive, and Barry as well, put them 113 to 8 points clear late on. And yeah, deserved a win for St. Kieran's. Good start.
Good times coming back, Liam.
Yeah, good solid victory.
Manager.
good manager, good setup all around. You know, lots of young players there as well. And the one thing that you will get from Kieran is you will get 110% from the boys that commit.
And much like Shannon Rangers, a lot of the names, Luca Brosnan, Brian Leonard, the whole lot, they've been playing a number of years now as well. So they're getting into a stage where, dare I say, they're nearly veterans at...
There and you throw in the couple of the two McKelligets, the two actually, yes. We have also the six defenders. There's four brothers. Oh. No, there's two brothers, two McKelligets and two Brosnans. Luke and Isaac are
geez, you brothers. Wouldn't want to follow that family.
And then with Paul Welsh up front, no, there's a lot of people talking about, is he good enough to be brought into Kerry and stuff like that.
We
know the pedigree he has.
Yes, he was a fantastic miner.
Off
the charts.
No, we know he can offer a lot, but you know, can he take that step? And we'll see that over the next couple of weeks now when the competition heats up a little bit more. West Kerry, they never recovered from the start that Kieran's got, but they didn't look anywhere dangerous all through. Oh. They were just kind of ticking over, you know, that kind of way.
To be fair to him, I suppose they're a district that are really showing signs of what rural decline is within their clubs now. So Kerry possibly the same as well. I mean, and plus the fact they don't have Dingle in their arms as well. Light enough maybe on Gaeltacht players as well, but I mean Castle Gregory, Lispoll, if you look at them, they're all down through it, but yet it's important that they kind of get back together and have one more shot at the next step.
Yeah, and I think the next game you'll probably see a better West Kerry team. And I think across the board in all the games with the districts you'll see them getting better as the more games they play. But look, Kieran's will be happy with that, to step into the winners round now this weekend.
Fair play. So there you go. Crokes, Shannon Rangers and St. Cairns are all in the next round. And we'll talk about the other five games after the break. Now it's the night for square balls. Another comment was Shawnee's first goal of square ball, Liam.
We have a toss for it.
Oh, would you even toss for that, would you? Or you get
I don't know. We'll give him that one now. We disallowed one. We'll give him the first one.
Super. And a couple of comments, of course, coming in chatting about some teams getting neutral venues and some teams getting what seemed to be home advantage.
Yeah, that's a kind of a mystery, all right, to all of us. I don't think, was there any explanation given for it?
You're asking me, I am the presenter, I ask you. That's how you get paid.
neutral anyway.
They're all neutral next week, so yeah.
They're all neutral, they are actually all neutral next week. We might touch on that. I have a couple of comments to that ilk as well, which we'll get to. Speaking on that, so let's go to one of the other neutral venues at the weekend, Temple Knowe versus Field Rangers. 11 points to 10, were Temple Knowe in danger at one stage?
They were, to be fair. It's a game I was at below, and Field Rangers had a lot of possession. Mm-hmm. They looked like a team. You could see they were the district team. They had so much possession, but they found it hard to break down Temple Knowe. And they were hanging in there. But in the end, I think there was a few great runs from Adrian Spillane and Tadhg Morley. Kind of won a couple of frees, got a bit of space. They kicked a few points, and that was what got them over the line. There wasn't much between these two teams, mm-hmm. and we'll see by the scoreline as well. But on play, it was close. But Field Rangers looked, they just didn't have the team game that Temple Knowe had, and I think that's what just got Temple Knowe over the line.
Mm-hmm. So it was a case that it was kind of, I suppose the district were kind of cobwebs on them, where the club kind of getting together. But it still took Temple Knowe an age to win that game at home.
It did, because like I said, Field Rangers had so much possession. You know, the one thing I did see with Field Rangers when they were getting the ball inside, you know, they were trying to look for a mark, or there was no one taking a man on or anything, whereas Temple Knowe, when they got to the other end of the field, they were attacking the gaps. Tadhg Morley got a pilty, which was a fantastic save by Jack Enright as well, the pilty. You know, it was hidden for the corner and he got down low. A great save from Brian Crowley. But I think Field Rangers will improve. I think that game will stand to Field Rangers. And I think Temple Knowe will be happy there after winning a county championship match at home. So going into the next round against Shannon Rangers. So I think the games this weekend coming are going to be, they're going to be humdingers, a lot of them.
Field Rangers, of course, not that many years ago, maybe two at the most, to beat Austin Sachs, didn't they?
They did.
I mean, there is a bit of pedigree inside there. Dare I say, John Kennedy had one or two of them on our team, the championship as well, that year. So there is pedigree enough in them. Plus, you know, Listowel are kind of thereabouts, kind of pushing through as well. A lot of good players. Cormac Dillon, though.
Cormac Dillon, lovely footballer, lovely striker of the ball. The one thing I'd like to see more of him is taking his men on a small bit. Mm-hmm. No, I suppose compared to with Dubois, he's probably doing more of that. Whereas with Field Rangers, you don't want to be the selfish
still
guy. He's still under 20 as well, but he will get opportunities. And like, he's a sweet kicker. Yeah. You know, you could see it. But that's the one thing that when I was watching him, like, he had opportunities maybe just to try to go past these men.
Yeah.
With time, but I presume over the next couple of weeks when he feels more comfortable playing with guys that he's not used to playing with,
yeah,
I think you could see a better outcome from Cormac Dillon.
Yeah.
I thought about Eddie Healy around the middle of the field as well. Great engine.
Yeah.
You know, did a lot of kind of covering back. You have Jack McElligott there. Like you said, they have a lot of good players, mm-hmm, but trying to gel them in the right way,
yeah,
and trying to get the best out of every one of them.
As an North Kerry man, would you be kind of happy enough? A win, and almost a win?
Yeah, a great performance. It was always going to be tough down there, like going down to Timpelknowe. And like Liam said, I'd expect an improved performance from next weekend. They have the pedigree players. You put in Jack McElligott, David Foran, Killian Trant.
Mm-hmm. Aaron Kennelly is there as well. They played a pile of ball now.
These guys have worn the Kerry jersey, and that's a step ahead. But it's to gel them together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult for the management. You know, you're kind of disjointed. Sin is going well in the junior championship. You know, you hadn't the players in. And Dewar likewise in the junior. But look, they have Kinmare now in the next round. That'll be a cracking game. And you can see that they will improve from that performance. Maybe, like Liam said, 8 points out of 10 by Cormac Dillon. Maybe a more even spread of scores up front. Mm-hmm. Other guys kicking a few points, they'd be a force.
Yeah. Milltown and Spa. When that draw was made, I said both teams, Andrew, kind of said, yeah, we have a great chance of winning this one. Milltown won it.
Yeah, both teams would have fancied themselves, Stornal. Milltown, in their first year back at senior, have a win now in the club and the county championship. So they trailed by 4 at the break, didn't panic. They were down Killian Burke, so they'll be delighted with the win. Spa raced into an early lead, 4 points, but Milltown Castlemaine got their goal in the 24th minute. Gavin Horan getting his first goal of the game, made it a 1 point game. Daniel Donoghue and Evan Cronin, they were really showing for Spa, to be fair to them. They responded in style and had Spa up 3 at the break, but 8 minutes after the resumption, Kevin Horan came in again, and from the kick out he started at the 21, and it was a bit similar to his first goal. He shot, but it was initially blocked and rebounded himself into the net. I think, yeah, they really finished the game strong. Spa never said die. Evan Cronin, Keen Tobin and Ryan Carroll, they never gave in. They'd a combined 10 points. But Gavin Horan, I suppose, was only right that he got the super score under pressure late on in injury time. Secured it for Milltown Castlemaine. 2-2 on the day for him. It doesn't get easier for them now. They've East Kerry next, but what a prospect. They've free shot, as you say. And as for Spa, they have to get over in a Gael challenge next weekend.
Yeah. Milltown Castlemaine, I mean, going out on your own, I mean, they were with Mid Kerry last year, John, they were in the county final. There was a lot kind of felt that, oh God, they're going to kind of pull the leg off the table of Mid Kerry, which in fact they didn't in that instinct. A lot of their players, though, have senior county championship experience, not playing with the club maybe, but certainly playing at this level. And Gavin Horan was a man that we mentioned several times last year, how important. And isn't it funny, he pops up and scores 2-2, yeah, and is possibly the game decider on a very important day for his club.
Yeah, it's a great win for them. It was a difficult game to call. I felt myself Spa might have the edge, mm-hmm, with Killian Burke out. Then you add in Dan O'Connor. He didn't start, came on, obviously had some knock or a niggle, had to go off. But the character they showed, you know, they were down 4 points at half time. You'd say, where are they going to get the scores from? But I thought Gavin McKinn at cornerback, 2 points. Parrin and the other, he drove forward. Their centre back, David Roach. The warrior, Gavin Horan. He was down as often as he was up, getting knocks and that, but he ended up with 2-2. But you know, I think their game was typified by the corner forward, Brendan Casey. He came out, he won ball, he took on the defences, he created space. You know, fantastic performance for them. On the Spa side, you'd have to say Dan Donoghue, 2 points. Ryan Carroll, 3 from the half-back line. You know, Michael Foley, very influential around the middle. Keane Tobin kicked the freeze. You know, Evan Cronin very good in the 40, but they couldn't actually put them away. But they went right to the very end and were unlucky, you know, a point down, blown up when they were in attack, time was up. But a great victory for Milltown. This is the one that, you know, as you said, coming up from intermediate into senior, a bit of time to find your feet.
Mm-hmm.
But the blue ribbon of Kerry football, a great victory. You know, it's a tough one next weekend, but they're in bonus territory because they still have another game. So, you know, that's it's huge. You could see what it meant to the final whistle. And Spa, tough campaigners. they'll come back from this as well. They're always difficult, well organised side, but a very interesting game. If it wasn't of the top standard, it was really, you had everything, endeavour, commitment.
There was a county championship feel about it. No, it wasn't a county league game as such. I mean, somebody wants to win it, and but the challenges were fairly lively.
And it was good. And you know, in fairness, it was played in great spirit. There was hard hitting, there was tough tackling, but lads got on with it, and some great scores got. And you know, it was great to see lads surging from the fullback or halfback line, going by guys and kicking scores. That's what the people want.
Yeah, scores, loads of scores. East Kerry and Rathmore, more scores for East Kerry though.
Yeah, more scores for East Kerry. I suppose they're showing no signs of slowing down. They've laid down an early marker in this county championship, 1-10 in the end against Rathmore. It was a tight game at the break. They were leading by just 2, but it was an electric second half by East Kerry, has to be said. 3 goals in rapid succession had them well on their way. They outscored Rathmore by, I think, 8 points in the second half. Rathmore had the better of the opening. They settled quicker than East Kerry, but the man himself, David Clifford, had his goal in the 17th minute. Tread from his brother Paddy, he dummy passed the 2 Rathmore players and finished into an open net. Rathmore kept in touch. The outfield, Shane Ryan, as we like to see, scored 2 brilliant frees before the break. They're always fearless in their defending, and they kept East Kerry kept the threat away as long as they could, but the goal fest began in the second half. There was 4 goals in 6 minutes for both teams between them. 34th minute, Luke Crowley, it was a quick ball sent in from Emmett O'Shea from the sideline. David Clifford received it, he hand passed it to an open Luke who smashed into the net, and Emmett, liking what he sees from Luke, a couple of minutes later, Emmett O'Shea himself, an absolute rocket past William Casey to increase East Kerry's lead to 7. And Rathmore themselves came down the field only 2 minutes later, and Kieran Collins, the wing forward, nestled a low strike into the bottom left. That tightened the game back to 4, and you're almost thinking at this stage, goal after goal, who needs points? And Paddy Clifford, 3 minutes later, added to East Kerry's goal tally. And I think that was kind of the nail in the coffin for that game, and East Kerry had an 8-point lead. They seemed safe, and they began to roll their bench, which was oozing of quality. I mean, Kieran O'Sullivan had a great year for Spa. He came off the bench, and Rory Murphy, a Kerry panellist, came on. And I suppose even for lads outside of Kerry, outside the Kerry panel, Dara Lyon and Luke Crowley, I thought they were very impressive on the day. David and Paddy, of course, just special as always, 2-10 between them. Rathmore need to bounce back now. West Kerry await them next week. That's going to be a tough challenge, but of course, Rathmore always be well up for it, and East Kerry, they look like the team to beat. And is that any surprise really at this stage?
They conceded 2-12. Is Jerry Sullivan sitting at home tonight saying, how in God's name did Rathmore score 2-12? Or is he sitting at home saying, the next team can score 2-20, we'll outscore him?
Well, a bit of both, but obviously, if you're a manager, we're going to be studying all that kind of stuff. But to be fair to Rathmore, on that performance, they would have probably beaten a lot of other teams this weekend.
They probably won.
They would have a lot
six of those eight.
They
games
would, yeah. On that performance, you know. So it's just, I think East Kerry are after laying down a marker. Mm-hmm. Thereafter,
East Kerry came out of the championship last year. They played South Kerry in the first round. They were easing into the championship, in a sense. They didn't seem to be easing into the championship yesterday.
No, and we all heard this thing about, you know, Davis and Paddy not going playing and all this kind of crap. Look, these guys want to play football, and especially county championship. Like it's our competition, our main competition, and they want to be seen, and you know, and
it's the pathway back to the Kerry captaincy.
Exactly. And not only that, we look at these Kerry team like Chris O'Leary, Dan O'Brien, Niall O'Donoghue, who had a fantastic game with Fireys only 2 weeks ago, Keane Gamble, Paddy O'Leary. These guys like would
I look at it differently. I look at the fellas who can't get into it, fellas who are on the panel, I mean, them on their own would probably beat,
would be a good district team on their own.
Absolutely. See that quality kind of sitting there to decide, so they haven't gone away. Club side versus the district side, I mean, it's hard for a club like Rathmore when they face into neighbours, I suppose, and people that they know, but they had a number of outstanding performances.
Oh, they have, but Rathmore, they're a well organised side, very disciplined, a lot of good players, you know, Paul Murphy, Andrew Meinen there, Alan Dineen, Brendan O'Keefe around the middle, the Ryans, you know, Mark Green, John Meinen, they're all decent footballers. They're always going to be difficult to beat, and like you said there, 2-12, you know, if they were playing it,
they would have beaten a lot of the other district teams, like
they would have.
Yeah.
They just, but to kick 2-12 against East Kerry, against that East Kerry team, no mean feat, and you know, they'll have a say in the championship yet. They're very. You know, the way they play, they're a dogged team. They're hard to break down. And you just look at the six forwards that East Kerry had, like Darragh Lyne, Luke Crowley, Donald Sullivan, the two Clifford's, Emmett O'Shea. Yeah. I mean, that's nearly an inter-county sextet, like, in fairness.
Yeah, God, John has frightened the world. Kieran Collins, I thought, played very well as well. And Fionn Murphy, I thought, was quite good yesterday.
And it's good to see Murray Murphy back as well, because that's a long, hard year of...
A long time out.
It was done without Dara Roach and Jack Sherwood.
Yeah. Yeah. Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Oh, you think they're going to cut us off early? 47 seconds.
They got sick of us, Donnie.
They got sick of Liam Brosnan talking.
That was Kenny that was talking, not me.
That's not even though he's upset because Forrest beat Liverpool two weekends. You won't get off it. Listen, after the break, we will talk about Mead Kerry and Dingle, and we will talk about St Brendan's and South Kerry as well. Quick comment in about the number of people going to games, Liam. 10 seconds. It's only okay, is it?
It's only okay, yeah. But we're coming off a kind of a club campaign.
Yeah.
And probably still not really to play for yet, so people might be holding their few euros in their wallet yet.
The weather was fine.
And look, Clubber is probably hurting it a small bit as well. People are sitting at home watching it. There's a lot of things for it.
Or against it, even.
Or against it.
Good stuff. We'll take a break. Now, keep your comments coming in, 0666 712 366. Ivan's on the line, or you can WhatsApp us or text 083 300 3300. I'll mention this one, I'll keep the football-y ones for the end. Well done to Dominic Lynch on winning his 40th All-Ireland title yesterday from All at Glimbe Handball Club, and congratulations to Dominic. He's won 40, means he won 39 before that, so he certainly has
some mounted medals
on the metal. And we had Liam Brosnan giving out that he only won one county medal, so that's 40 medals. That's to imagine all this chaos as we get there. Right, back to it. Just before the break, of course, we were talking about East Kerry defeating Rathmore 4-16 to 2-12. St Brendan's, a lot of interest in St Brendan's and South Kerry. Probably a lot more interest in the makeup of the St Brendan's team. Good win for St Brendan's.
Yeah, as you said, they're probably the most exciting team to look forward to for the championship. I suppose the addition of Rahalies, they have to pick with three out of the four Tralee clubs this year, and a good win for them over South Kerry over the weekend. I mean, look at their starting 15, it was just littered with talent. Dylan Casey, David Moore and Tom Hoare, Tomás Kennedy, Jack Savage, Tommy Walsh and Barry John Keane, just fantastic players throughout. And James Goslow will be happy to be in the next round. It takes a while for a divisional team to gel together, and that was seen at the weekend. It was a low scoring affair really to kick off, level at 5 points apiece at the break. There was nothing too enthralling, but it was a good tactical battle, really. Kieran O'Sullivan had a lovely point for South Kerry in injury time. It was really the highlight of the half from 40 metres. But after half time, Brendan's got their goal from Jack Savage. It was made from a brilliant Tomás Kennedy run. His shot on goal was stopped by Austin Murphy. It was a good stop, but Jack Savage recovered well. He followed through. After that, it was kind of an inevitable result. Brendan's maintained a strong hold over the game. It was not too flashy. There is work to do for them. They face St Kieran's next. But Jack Savage, I thought, was just superb. And Tomás Kennedy as well, his Nari's partner. 1-7 for Jack Savage on the day. And work to do for the Kieran's game. And but I think they'll come together slowly but surely.
A couple of years ago, St Brendan's were one of those teams that were close enough. I mean, they'd beaten East Kerry a couple of times, kind of maybe in the rounds up to it. Never kind of got over the line when they needed to. Of course, Nagale left them. Rahalies came back to them. Stacks came back to them. Did it surprise you, John, though, that there was 8 Rahalies of the first 15?
Not really. With a few of the Stacks fellas unavailable, not really. You know, you couldn't argue with the lads that were on, to be fair. But I think the strength and depth.
But it's a great way to map out a team, to have 8 of a team that are very competitive at the intermediate level, that, you know, nearly made the step up. You have David Moore and you have Tommy Walsh for experience, fellas who know a county championship about you. Barry John Keane running around like he was 18 years old again. You have Jack Savage kicking pints for fun. Great momentum.
The nucleus of the team was there, like, you know, and Jack Savage, one of the best kickers around, in fairness. You know, Keane Holden came on, the Mitchell's man, kicked 3 points.
Yeah.
You know, he added to it.
Very kind of under the radar.
Yeah, under the radar.
But a huge influence.
You know, he's a fella that a lot of people would know about before the game, you know, but certainly came on in there. And that's what a divisional team does. It gives an opportunity to these fellas. exciting going forward, like he said. I think that when you add in the Joe Connors and these fellas into that setup, you know, they're going to be at the business end, I think.
Yeah, and then they have a good management side as well. Is it kind of unfair to say that Neresoke Kerry were blown out of it? I mean, they had their patches where they were kind of competitive as such. They're a very small team, very young team as well.
Very young team, yeah. Just like you said earlier about West Kerry, the same kind of pattern that they went with. Sean Tien, exciting. I seen playing with Renard this year. Yeah. You know, lively forward, kick points for fun. He kept South Kerry within touching distance as much as he could. But yeah, look, we gave him South Kerry credit last year for starting with the youth that they have, and they're still building. You know, they will be competitive, but I just think that that little bit of experience, I suppose, is not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
And but I think if they can get as many games under their belt this year, I think you'll be seeing the best of South Kerry in the years to come, because they have the young fellas, all right, that can step up to the mark.
Largely under 21 team, which is the team that lost to Stacks in the semi-final. Game of the week happened to be, by accident or design, the last game of the week.
Yeah, Miss Kerry Dingle, I'd agree with you. The game of the weekend, right home dinger in Austin Stack Park. It was the semi-final last year. Miss Kerry shot Dingle. I suppose Dingle would have been out for vengeance this year, but Miss Kerry reformed and they won again. A fantastic game, really, to be fair. Dingle got off to a flyer of a start. They would score 3-2 inside 15 minutes, but for the rest of the game, they scored just 5 points. And I think that's a real credit to the Miss Kerry defence. I mean, I look at the half-back line, Owen Clifford, Mike Breen, and Jack Roston. I thought they were all very impressive with their turnovers following the 15th minute. There was a real goal fest from Dingle in the opening quarter, as I mentioned. Dylan Ganey got the first at 7 minutes. They were down 2 in the early embers, but straight from the kick out, quick movements of possession downfield. Paul found Dylan, who ran inside and struck a lovely effort into the left corner. Tom Leo, a man not often on the goal scoring end, he got a goal for Dingle 4 minutes later. Dylan Ganey had another goal then, only 4 minutes later. Again, it was every 4 minutes for a while. It was Dingle's third goal in the opening quarter, and after the first quarter, you might have thought Dingle had this game home and hose, but Mitch Carey had other ideas. Kieran Kennedy had other ideas. He made up for an earlier save. He got a goal in the 22nd minute. He got past Gavin Curran and finished into an open net, and all of a sudden the game's just reduced to 3 points. They claw back from a 7-point deficit, really from excellent point scoring from Sean O'Brien and Darren Hoolan in particular. I thought they had some lovely points, and I think in the second half then Owen Hassett came into the game. He got a brilliant goal, as well worked between him, Jack Brosnan and Kieran Kennedy, Owen Hassett finishing it. And I thought there was great chemistry. They really came into it in the second half, the mid carry forwards, and for a first day out it was very impressive. And a couple of uncharacteristic wides later on from Dingle wouldn't have helped their fight back to get it back into the game. And Keith Evans, really, in the final quarter, he was superb. He got 5 points, 2 late on to seal the win. And they were able to look to their bench as well, the Evanses, Liam and Shane, and they'll be delighted with that win on the opening weekend. If I'm correct, they didn't lose a single kick out, 16 out of 16. And Dingle did press late on, so that's very impressive, to be fair, for Dingle, from Sean Coffey, for Beaufort in particular. And yeah, mid Kerry Crokes, an exciting prospect for the next round.
Absolutely. John Kennedy, how important is getting to a final and that momentum kind of carrying itself over against Dingle? I mean, all these lads would have played with each other last year. They would have felt the disappointment. They would see their colleagues, I suppose, Milltown Castlemaine, kind of move out. But as it proved, they had enough on the panel to fill those slots pretty comfortably, as it seems, play good football, and that's a big win.
Oh, it's a big win. And I suppose the first thing I'd have to say is the Long Rangers players. Mm-hmm. There was people saying last week,
Would they or wouldn't they?
Yeah. It shows the attitude Liam Hassett and the players have. Not alone did they tug out, they were to the forefront. That's very impressive, to be fair, for their district. But Mead Kerry have the players. You know, from Sean Coffey out, looks like Sepa Kilkenny, Nathan Breen, Mike Breen. You look at the midfield pairing, Sean O'Brien and Liam Smith. And then you look at the forwards, Keith Evans, 5 points in play. You know, he's another player that's been mentioned as a possible, you know, and this is the shop window for those guys. Owen Hassett continuing on his scoring. Derek Cleary, Kieran Kennedy, very impressive.
Great management team, we said before, and they have the names.
If you were sitting at home and you were watching television and you looked in and you saw the three goals for Dingle and the way that the Red Sea opened up, I don't know how many times, you would have said, I'm turning this off because it's not going to end well for Mid-Kerry. How did they turn it around?
And I think that's huge for Mid-Kerry that they actually did turn around it, because when you're going into a dressing room after winning a game like that as a district, it's really going to lift the tide completely, because they were dead and buried. Mm-hmm. To be fair, they were. No, and they just came out, and I suppose that's the one thing with a district team, is the maybe the first game or the first half an hour or the first 20 minutes trying to settle. And they really did settle after that, John, and they picked away at the points. They didn't panic.
Well, I think the attitude is coming from Peter O'Sullivan. He did the same with Linbay.
Yeah.
You know, they were fighting an uphill battle, but they stayed fighting.
They stayed picking away.
Very well organised, but they have quality players all over the field.
John Kane, Dingle only scored 5 points in the last 45 minutes of that game.
They look tired, don't they?
Yeah.
They look tired. Yeah, you know, we got a good bust out of them for the first 20 minutes, but they struggled after that then. And now they're still struggling from a hangover from the club final, you know, against Crokes. But no, we're not going to write arbitraries here for Dingle, because they're still going to have a say in this competition. But they are struggling for form at the moment.
They will come through next weekend, I think, and they're back in the mix.
Hold.
But as you say, they have, and Tom Sullivan's loss is
Tom's huge. A huge loss. They kind of haven't recovered from that loss.
No.
Jesus, settle down. Let's talk about next week. Let's talk about that game. So Kerry versus Dingle.
Sorry, Don.
So Kerry won't turn up at all.
No, but you would be expecting Dingle.
They should do.
But like, as we said earlier on, like, Graham O'Sullivan leading South Kerry, a lot of young fellas, and they're doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's that much of your policy, similar to Shannon Rangers.
Yeah.
The results will follow. Maybe it's a step too far against Dingle. That experience will get him over the line, but, you know, championship is knockout now. That game is a knockout game.
Should I know that? You're both going Dingle.
We're both going Dingle. I just think they'll have that little bit too much from. And I think Dingle would be happy with South Kerry, because there's a lot of other teams there at the way Dingle are playing at the moment they'd struggle against.
Okay, fair enough. Spawn the Gael, that's a tough one.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
Two teams, dare I say, kind of, their confidence has taken a bit of a belting.
No doubt about it. A lot will depend on David O'Connor, if he's available. If he's not, you'd say it's his advantage, Spa, hesitantly now, to be fair. Because, you know, they'll dig in.
Would you be that hesitant prior to the Milltown game? If
no.
The Gael and Spa was the first game in the championship, you'd probably say Spa.
You'd say Spa, would.
Because of that loss, you would say it's closer now than it was.
It's closer now, yeah. Both teams will be looking for the result to stay in the championship. I think Spa will edge it.
What about you,
I did the same thing. Spa will just about creep that game, yeah.
Okay, good stuff. Ratmore and West Kerry.
Ratmore. No, I think that's going to be an interesting game. But like we said at the start, for the Ratmore, I think Ratmore would have beaten and
like,
a lot of teams.
On farm and on the way the teams were beaten. I mean,
you'd have to go Ratmore.
Beaten in a better way.
You know, if you look at the Timpelnoe Kinmare scenario, very little to choose between them. Field Rangers put it up to Timpelnoe down below. I think there could be kicking them, but it's very hard to go against Kinmare as well, because when you doubt them, that's when they'll come back. They're real battlers. They have a lot of quality players. Shawnee Shea is critical. If Field Rangers can nullify him, they have a great chance.
So they have to mark him. Who would pick up Shawnee Shea in that Field Rangers team?
It's a good question.
I know you're not the manager, and obviously you're on the other side.
Jack McKenna did a good job on Killian Splane. No, it was a tough battle the last day.
Yeah.
I suppose they'll put Jack, but they'll probably have cover, because Eddie Healy was kind of helping as well, sitting back deep. You know, so I think it'll be tough, but I just think Kilmare, if they can get a little bit more on the score sheet from other fellas around Shawnee, I think Kilmare will just have the nod for me.
Okay, so you've picked Kilmare, you've picked Ratmore, you've picked Dingle, you've picked Spa. Different question. If there was one of those teams that you didn't pick, that you had to say, well, you know, they might actually do it, which one of the four that you didn't pick might do it?
I say Field Rangers could be the team. I think
they could
have the players, and I think they'll learn from the last day.
Yeah.
They'll improve, and if they can get, there's a few ifs in it,
yeah.
If they can get some support for Cormac,
on the score sheet.
They had a pile of possession last day, only that just didn't have the killer instinct, and all that kind of way. And I think that'll come with more games they play. And of course, like you said, this is knockout, so you have to go for it now.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay, let's get on to the winners round. It's not that impactful. You lose, you're still in the championship in a sense. If you're a manager, Liam, and you go into a game that you're told straight away, sure, if you lose, you're still in the championship. Does that kind of vary the way you're playing? Do you kind of go
into
the
really because county championship, if you have a chance to get to a quarter final here and maybe get a week off as well.
Yeah. No, the bigger prize,
I think,
is
the bigger prize is winning.
Getting a week off.
I think
get a couple of injuries back
and get a bit of north. Yeah, I think that's be the big prize.
As it looked, if it was just four quarterfinals, there'd be four fair humdinger quarterfinals. Let's go St Cairns and St Brendan's.
Yeah,
two kind of pretenders.
Two pretenders for the right. Yeah, but I'd be on paper. You're favouring St Brendan's with the names that they have, and I just think they might have that little bit too much scoring power for St Cairns. No, and a bit of experience as well. Like I said, Cairns are young. They have a lot of young players. But I tell you one thing, that they won't be found wanting, especially with Wallace in charge of them. But I will just give a hesitant nod to St Brendan's.
Oh my God, it's going to be tattooed on the wall. Just so you know. We'll take a quick break and we'll come back with the other three.
Breaking down the weekend sporting action. This is Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Now down to the last three, Meath, Kerry and Crokes. That's a real tough one, John, is it?
Yeah, huge game, Donal. And like we said off air there, I suppose Meath Kerry, Crokes and probably East Kerry, they're the top three at the moment.
And you've two of them playing each other.
Two of them playing each other, and they will be involved in the semi-finals again, there's no doubt. Difficult one to call. Meath Kerry, it's the toughest test Crokes will have got this year. Mm-hmm. Quality players all over the field, and I think their forward division is the one that'll ask questions of Crokes' defence.
And they have beaten, of course, in the championship a couple of years ago as well. Maybe it may be an ageing Crokes that time. So you are going for?
I think Meath Kerry could share this one.
Ooh. Oh, Liam, come on.
I'll go against him. I think Crokes.
You think or you know?
I'll tell you next Monday night.
Right. East Kerry, Milton Castlemaine. John Kennedy.
East Kerry, Milton Castlemaine?
Yeah.
East Kerry.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Milton Castlemaine put up the Cliffords before, haven't they?
They did, yeah. But I think they'll...
They just won't have enough soldiers.
More than just the Cliffords, though.
I know. That is the truth of matter, isn't it? Milton Castlemaine are in good territory. I mean,
All great territory. And look, with Killian Burke, we said that before, Ian O'Connor, and, you know, coming, getting their feet at this level, this is another test. It's another step up. And they're still in the championship. Next weekend.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's all that matters. And then the final one, Shannon Rangers and Temple Now. Both will be in the championship the following weekend, but who will be in the quarter final, John?
I fancy Shannon Rangers.
Oh, I had to ask him first, didn't I?
Yeah, and
because to be fair, like, you went against your own district, he backed his district. You both wrote off my district.
I agree with him. Going on Shannon Rangers' performance the weekend, I was very impressed with him. Temple Now, you know, kicked 11 points. Killian kicked 8 and stuff like that, even though they're a club team, they didn't really over-impress me the weekend. So I think they'll really have to step it up to beat Shannon Rangers, and I think there's a bit of a buzz about Shannon Rangers now probably as well, John. You know, so I think they'll be in a good place coming into it. I think it'll be a good game, there won't be much in it, but I'd give a nod to Shannon Rangers for this.
Okay, so both of you going Shannon Rangers on that. Both of you have picked East Kerry. You've gone separate on Mid Kerry and Dr. Crokes. Brave call there, John. Have you gone separate in St Cairns and St Brendan's?
I have.
One of you have picked one.
No, I went Brendan's.
I went Brendan's as well. Yeah.
So you're both going Brendan's. Yeah. God almighty. Definitely be tattooed to the wall now anyway. I give St Cairns a chance. You both picked Kimmare Shamrocks. You both picked Rathmore. You both picked Dingle. And you've both picked Spa. Very quickly, hi Donal, ask the panel, was Sean Ishe's first goal square ball? We hit that one already. And what a game in New York versus Westmeath in the senior championship final in the Gaelic Grounds. Kerry running out winners after extra time with a 65-yard last minute from Bobby Regan, of course, the VAR for to slot it over. Kerry boys were outstanding. Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. None of Kerry people were up watching that late last night.
And Spa had three fillers.
Yeah, I wonder will they be flying home now, will they?
They're coming to be home for the weekend.
Westmeath had Rob Wharton and Gavin O'Brien.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Yeah.
It would be often asked the question where all our Kerry miners gone.
And Field Rangers had Barry O'Mahony,
Killian Langan from
James Welsh.
James Welsh.
James Welsh, yeah.
Keith O'Leary, Kilcoma goalkeeper.
Sean Horn. Yeah, there's a lot of talent. Like I said, people have been asking, where are our Kerry minors? No, we know where they are.
you're better at naming players abroad than you are nearly the players.
We'll have to know for the Christmas quiz, now a couple of them.
Question for the Christmas quiz. Come here to me. Funny that we mentioned New York, of course, because one of the things that we're going to kick in there in a while is Spa travelling to New York in 1970. That was kind of unheard of back in the day, was it?
Of course, now we'll be hearing stories about the great Kerry team travelling the world. But was this, Bryce Boss, back in the 70s, it was 1970 probably was. It was a huge probably trip.
It was a big journey for the whole lot of them. But we will hear a little bit about it. What we'll do is we'll take a quick break and when we come back we'll have, thanks to Keane O'Dowd. Do you see Keane out there? Give us a big wave, Keane. He's a sound man, but he actually put his... he's a sound man. Yeah. All North Kerry men are sound men.
Sound engineer, sound man.
He's a sound engineer and he's a sound man. And he produced and he has this fantastic, I suppose, story that we're going to tell. And we'll do that after this break.
From the sidelines to the stand, Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Now, Spa to the States is a radio documentary produced by Keane Doherty. The documentary, of course, focuses on the Spa GAA team from Killarney, County Kerry, that travelled to America in 1978 to play a series of four Gaelic football matches. Donie O'Sullivan, Neil Doherty, John O'Leary and Pat Kelleher, who were a part of the travelling team featured in the documentary. Now, the documentary looks at the journey from Ireland to America and the games played and the impact and the journey had on the players. Have a listen.
Thinking, rugby clubs can go there to California and the West Coast. Why shouldn't a small club from the rural area of Killarney do the same?
I suppose you felt a bit privileged in a way, like it was an honour to be the first GAA team to play a game in where it had never been played before.
The Phyllis is totally an experience, and you were travelling with the team, and you were travelling in 10 new sort of situation. You didn't know what the games would be like there.
That you did not want to be a beaten team in America because they'd have no mass in you.
Football is the national sport of Ireland. Its origins date back to the 17th century. Since then, thousands of clubs have been developed, not just here in Ireland, but around the world. From the busy streets of New York to the sunny shores of Australia, Gaelic football has found a home in every corner of the globe. Over the last 50 years, many clubs from across Ireland have travelled abroad to meet their international counterparts and make connections with other communities that share a love for the GAA. This documentary follows one of those clubs. In the summer of 1978, Spa GAA, a small Gaelic football club from Kerry, embarked on a voyage across the Atlantic, far from the familiar fields of Ireland, to the land of the free and the home of the brave in America. This documentary follows the journey of the team, from the heart of Killarney to the hustle and bustle of New York, San Francisco, Los Angeles and Reno, Nevada, in what proved to be a journey that left a lasting impact on all those involved. This is Spa to the States. Donie O'Sullivan is an All-Star and All-Ireland winning footballer with Kerry. Throughout his inter-county career, he was a part of the SPA GAA team. He played a crucial role in the organisation of the team's journey to America.
Well, the club, the small club, had organised in 1973, and it was easier then. I think you hired a plane, or sold a plane, sold the plane, and they filled the plane, Pan Am, and I think it was Paul O'Sullivan in the Civic Gene. He was off for the summer. He was a student at the time. He did the office work and everything else. So that was 73. And the other years then, things had got better and better. And as was, we began to dream about far-off places. And some of us, anyway, had been to California and San Francisco. And I remember thinking, rugby clubs can go there to California and the West Coast. Why shouldn't a small club from the rural area of Killarney do the same? And we organised for about a year. And I knew, or I had been in San Francisco a few times, because Kerry had been there, had played there in 1970 and in 1971. And then the other trips after that. So I knew many of the people that were involved there that you could trust. And there was no public fundraiser or anything like that, because it wouldn't be fair. You see, we felt you'd be fundraising for your own vacation or experience. But it was a team effort, because a few different people had different jobs to do. Someone to get new jerseys, which was sponsored some in Dublin, and then Tim Regan, anyway, was the accountant. He kept the money, whatever we had, and people paid their own way. And they had time to save as well. It was a year in advance, and there wasn't much around compared to now. But they saved enough to get their tickets, and it wasn't that expensive. And we couldn't have gone there without the people that we knew in San Francisco, because they looked after it and organised things. They were marvellous there. And having seen them in action, having been there a few times, we knew they were so dependable. I remember most of them are gone, as they say, are slain a fear, they're gone from us. And as well as going there, it was a great sense of achievement that we could do this. And what is more important, the group that went, there weren't that many. I think it was a bond forevermore.
After a year of planning, the team, along with their management, departed from the club grounds on a dull June morning and headed to Shannon Airport to begin their journey to America. Among the players who went on the trip were Pat Kelleher, John O'Leary and Neil Doherty. Along with Donny, they recount their experience of travelling to America.
I had no major expectations at all about America. But America, it was fine, you know. But I suppose if you hadn't travelled to America before, it'd be a bit of a shocker the first time, you know. But I had done a few long ones before that. I actually went around the world in 1975, I think it was, when I worked with Leavers. I actually worked in Australia and I came back to America.
Well, it was great, the apprehension for the people for their first time. It was great, really. Even the experience of going and signing up forms for immigration and so forth. And it was enjoyable. And because it worked out well, the memories are very good.
I actually didn't leave for Killarney. I boarded the plane in Dublin and picked up the rest of the bid in Shannon. And when you're talking about the organisation, each of the people who got on in Shannon had a document with them explaining where they were going, what they were doing there. You know, basically saying they were going to play Gaelic football, and that was all they were doing. They were being put up over and things like that. But I never got that, with the result that when I got off the plane in America, I'd say there was two or three of them pointing in my direction, but I had no document like that to say what I was doing over there. And I was detained, but I was detained longer than the rest of them were in customs. And at the end of it, Donny O'Sullivan had to come in and tell the customs officer what I was doing there and produce the document everybody else had, but I didn't have, you know.
The flight to America was my first time in an aeroplane, and New York. We flew from Shannon to New York, and we changed in New York and went to Los Angeles. It was a 14-hour trip in total, flying. But the last of the flight seemed to be at night. But what hit me was when we got off the plane in New York, the blast of heat that hit us. And it was my first time seeing an armed police officer. And Los Angeles was later at night, I think. And there was, it was still warm, like, you know what I mean? But everything just looked massive. Not when you come from the country area where I came from, it was just simply miles and miles, just nothing but buildings and houses and roads, you know, that kind of thing. But the flight, like, to me, it was just like being in a car. You know, it was just up in the air, like.
Following their arrival, the SPA team played four matches on American soil. They played a collection of Irish and American men from Los Angeles, Shannon Rangers twice, and the New York Miners. John recalls his memories from some of the games.
Well, the first game we played was in Los Angeles, and we were against a Los Angeles selection, I think is what they call themselves, you know. And that was played in some heat, I'll tell you that much, yeah, yeah. And, I remember after one of them anyway, that Donny O'Sullivan reckoned that we were partying too much, and he was afraid that we'd be beaten. And he did not want to be beaten by the team over there in San Francisco, especially. And he took us training down by the sea, overlooking the sea one day. But I'll never forget it, because we nearly died during that training session. So you can see why he took us down anyway. But he, you know, he was a winner all you know, always, and he just wanted to drive a few cobwebs out of us, you know. And one thing I do remember about when we got back to the New York part of the trip, and we were playing a New York minor team who were due to come to Ireland the following week to play in the minor championship. I'm not sure if it was with Connacht or at the time, or who it was, but they were playing competitively in Ireland the following weekend. And they regarded the challenge game against the SPA as a means of a bit of training and practice match ahead of their trip to Ireland the following week. And even though they were big lads, they didn't like the roughing up, or so they called it. And it certainly looked like there'd be no second half, because the Americans were complaining that their players were being roughed up, and that they would get injured ahead of the championship game in Ireland the following week. And there was a lot of harsh words said at halftime and that, and, you know.
As mentioned previously, the SPA team faced off against Shannon Rangers twice. They played them first in Balboa Stadium and then travelled to the Minogue Miners football grounds in Reno, Nevada to play them for a second time. The game in Reno was one of major significance, as this was the first game of Gaelic football to ever be played in the state of Nevada. It was also the first time the tricolour and national anthem were used there.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're very welcome to the Minogue Miners football grounds, where today SPA GAA from Killarney, County Kerry in Ireland will play San Francisco's Shannon Rangers in what is the first game of Gaelic football to ever take place in the state of Nevada. Please pause for the Irish national anthem.
Went from there, I think, was it, there was a game in San Francisco. The Shannon Rangers Club in San Francisco hosted it. And not only that, but they arranged a game in a place in Reno, outside of Reno in Nevada, between Shannon Rangers and SPA. But the game was interesting because it was called the Miners Field, a few miles from Reno. And well, they were talking that the Irish national anthem was played there for the first and only time.
I suppose we felt a bit privileged in a way, like, you know, it was an honour to be the first GAA team to play a game in where it had never been played before. Maybe if there was a few people there that just came to look to see what it was actually like, see what kind of way we played our version of football, because their version of football is a totally different thing. Like, that we were using our own ball and kicking, and the scores we had was over the bar, and that we could get goals as well, like, you know what I mean? And I have this memory in my head that we used the NFL goals. as in the two upright posts and the one down the middle, just like a Y. I think we just stuck to scoring points. We were, you know, we didn't score goals, but I don't remember there being any GA type of goal. Like, it was just like the American football goalposts we were using as our goals.
I can remember it was a field that, that I don't know what days to play there. It was called the Miners' Field, but it wasn't what you call a very green field, because the weather was warm there. And but it was fine. So the game went well. There was no problems there, I don't think.
The one thing I remember about that is that they had a barrel of beer on the sideline. And we were all waiting for a half time. with only a keg, yeah, a full keg of beer. That's one thing, yeah. And it was, like I said, the first Gaelic football game in Reno.
Great block by Kelleher in the square. He passes the ball to Johnny O'Sullivan. Johnny O'Sullivan makes his way up the field. He passes the ball to O'Leary. O'Leary on the Rangers 45. O'Leary, he drives the ball down on top of Neil Doherty. Doherty rises above the Shannon Rangers defence and brings down the ball. He races into the square. It looks like he's going to go for the goal. He takes the shot. It goes in. It's a goal. Neil Doherty for Spar GAA rattles the net and he takes the scoreline to Spar 213. Shannon Rangers, 2 goals and 9 points.
In between the games, the team took in the sights and the sounds that the coasts of America had to offer.
I remember, believe it or not, I don't know whether it had been out here or not, first time ever hearing disco music, as in the Bee Gees, Saturday Night Fever soundtrack was playing in the Irish club in San Francisco when we were over there. We were brought there, and San Francisco is a hotbed of Irish people as well, as you know. And we were brought there, and there was a big crowd there, and the whole travelling party was introduced to the crowd. And I hate being the centre of anything. And we had to walk across the floor from the DJ box across the floor near where we were sitting. And I wasn't up for that at all. But San Francisco, I was down the beach one day. And I was totally sticking out like a sore thumb. I had on a pair of jeans and a top, where everyone else were in swimming trunks or bikinis or whatever. And this African American came up. He stood beside me and he could see there's a kind of red sunburn. Like, and he says to me, kind of, "You're not local." I says, "How did you guess?" And we spent an hour talking on that beach, me telling him about my life in this country and why I was over there, and what he was doing for that summer between his college. He was house sitting for people, as in they'd go away on holidays and he'd live in their house for 2 weeks while they were away to mind the house, to kind of gather it. And the pace of life was very, very fast. I didn't think that would never have suited me anyway. You know, we're way more relaxed in this country, or we're back then anyway. Things were way slower pace, and I found the pace of life in America very, very fast.
I remember we in San Francisco, we made 3 attempts to get out to Alcatraz, the island of Alcatraz, and failed miserably on the 3 days because the last ferry had gone by the time we had got down there to Fisherman's Wharf, which where the ferry leaves. I recall that, and just people, late or whatever, we were all the same way, late getting there, and that sort of thing. And to just pure perseverance on the 4th occasion, we actually got out there and decided we have to get there, seeing that we were in San Francisco, for me anyway, Alcatraz was the highlight in San Francisco, and going out there and just seeing the whole place and hearing the stories about it. And actually one of the tour guys nailed me one time. He says, we were in the shower area, and he says, "Now all these bad guys, the worst criminals you have in America, do you think that they got a nice warm shower every morning, or that they got a stone cold shower?" And of course, I piped up straight away when he asked me. Oh, I said, "A cold shower." No, what they actually got was a warm shower, because if they got a cold shower, it would acclimatise them to the cold water that is in the bay. And it was the coldness of the water in the bay that prevented them from escaping from Alcatraz. So he cut me out to a big round of applause, if I remember right.
We went to San Quentin, we went to the gate of San Quentin, we have a photograph of that, and that was a memory, and I remember being out by the Golden Gate Bridge and up on the hill over the Golden Gate Bridge, and fantastic. You'd never forget that, because it was a fabulous view. But San Francisco is a lovely city as well. I mean, the tiered city, fabulous. You know, you would remember that.
That was it. There were plenty of places to go. And I say, the people, the host people were so good, get people out and travel, get to see things. And even, as I say, San Francisco now is a different city. You had a strong, very strong Irish community there and a strong Kerry group community there. And all you'd do is, if you were downtown, to walk down Market Street, you'd be nearly sure to meet somebody. You'd know of it. And there was a place there called McCarthy's Bar there in Market Street, a very big place. So that was a place you could just drop in even for a cup of coffee or tea and you'd be sure to meet somebody. So it was very social that way and very enjoyable.
As the final whistle blew on what was a memorable journey, the SPA GEA team of 1978 knew they had been a part of something truly special. In what started as a simple journey across the Atlantic to play Gaelic football, turned into an impactful experience that decades on still echoes in the hearts of those who experienced it.
As the fellow says, totally an experience, and you're travelling with the team, and you're travelling into a new sort of situation. You didn't know what the games would be like there. Well, I find what any journey I ever made, coming home was the highlight of because when you're family at home, you know, and you're young children and things, it is nice to get back, you know, and it's nice to go, but it's nice to get back. That's all I say.
I was overawed by it altogether, and especially overawed by the likes of being even on the one plane with the likes of Donny O'Sullivan, who was an all-star, an all-Ireland winner, and to have somebody like that guide you around in the place you're never before. It was unreal altogether, as far as I was concerned. I have forgotten a lot of things that went down there, but, you know, there are certain things that stand out in my mind and never will.
I mean, you're Irish, you're carrying your national game, or one of your national games, to another country, showing off your skills as well. Like, of course you're going to be proud. Honoured, it'd be another word I'd use for it as well.
For me, I think it has been there a good many times, probably the most memorable, most enjoyable, because the group that made it, and they were closely knit. And there was good fun and good innocent laugh and so forth.
A special thank you to SPA GAA, Connie Broderick, Joe McGill and Radio Kerry Studios for their help and guidance.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home. Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, just before the break, you heard SPA to the States, of course, a radio documentary produced by my next guest, who didn't have too far to travel. He literally travelled from the sound disc to here. Keane Doherty, is this your first time speaking on Terrace Talk?
Definitely my first time speaking on Terrace Talk. Anyway, Donal, I'm usually the one making sure you're speaking by putting on the microphone.
Yeah, you do a great job with that, actually. And you take all the calls as well. And Ivan has been reduced back down to sound engineer. He looks fairly comfortable there, to be fair, fitting in well. Come here, the inspiration behind this.
Well, the inspiration for the documentary came from my dad, Neil Doherty. He's actually one of the contributors in the piece. And I remember him just telling me about going to America when he was younger. And when I was a child, him telling me about it, because it's the only trip he's ever went on. He's never left the country since. Oh, he went once into America and that was it. Never flew again, never did anything like that. So I always thought it was an interesting story. And at home, we had a book. It was a spa history book produced in 1998. and in it there was just one little strip of an article about the journey. The team had gone previously, I think in, it was either 75 or 73 they had gone a couple of years beforehand, and there was a lot more wrote about that, but there wasn't much wrote about the 78 team, and I thought, you know, it was a good opportunity to produce something about that and kind of document the actual history of the journey and the games played and what the lads did out there.
Mm-hmm. So you have the idea. What happens next?
What happens next then is you start making a long list of phone calls going through. I have to give a big thank you to the Spa GA Club. I spoke to the Treasury, the Chairperson, the PRO. They were all brilliant. They all got me in contact with people. And then I was able to whittle down the list of lads who wanted to do it and who I was able to get into the documentary and do them with.
Yeah, and one of the big names in the Donny Sullivan. I mean, legend, yeah. legend. What's it like to interview Donny?
Donny is an absolute gent. He was a lovely man. The interview took about 40 minutes, but I'd say I was there for an hour and a half. We were just chatting beforehand and just chatting afterwards. It was just such a nice man and such an interesting person to me, because obviously he was Kerry's first All-Ireland winner, so to get to meet him, and a lot of people focus on his Kerry career and stuff like that, so it was kind of interesting to speak to him about his roots, his club career and that, and he really liked and he really enjoyed talking about it as well.
Yeah, when you're doing a documentary like this and you're having those conversations, can you see the history unfold in front of yourself with them, and they have these stories and they're having the laughs and the whole lot? Does it bring back memories for them as well?
Oh, definitely. When I approached all the lads first, and even my own dad especially, he was like, I can't remember anything about that trip, which was nearly 50 years ago. Yeah. But as soon as they start talking about it and you ask them kind of a couple of leading questions, it all starts coming back to them. They start remembering things that they've completely forgotten about, and they start having laughs and memories. Like, you heard John O'Leary talking about the barrel of beer on the sideline. That kind of just came to him in the moment, just a memory like that. And I think it was good for them to recount it and to put it down somewhere that they went and they did it all.
Mm-hmm. And of course it tells the other side of the GA as well. I mean, we talk about the GA to date on the programme, about the matches and the scores and the winners and the whole lot, but this is the social side of it, and the social side that we probably wouldn't be exposed to only for this.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, you'd hear of teams going on tours, especially you hear of like GAA teams, you know, like the Kerry and stuff, they go on their international trips and stuff like that, and you wouldn't hear of small GAA clubs, and especially back in the late 70s, a small GAA club from Killarney making this big venture over to America to play a series of games, and then being the first team to play a game of Gaelic football in Reno, Nevada, in the Minogue Miners Park.
Yeah. It's a mad place to play, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. They
you think New York, you think Chicago, you think Buenos Aires, but Nevada, like...
Yeah, Reno, Nevada, the middle of nowhere, the heat, the dry, kind of arid land is what they all spoke about. They all kind of said, I think Pat specifically said the pitch wasn't very green, it wasn't very good ground, it was kind of hard and burnt from the dry climate they have out there. And then, of course, they played with the American football goals. They didn't even have GAA goals, so it was kind of just mostly points they were kicking.
Oh, wow, guys. So
yeah, they had kind of a rudimentary goal kind of set up, but it was still still the American football goals were there on the field for them.
So there was all field goals rather than free scores.
Yeah, kind of.
Good stuff. Come here, I mean, obviously people will hear at the end of the show, thanks to Keane. Is this something that you want to kind of go down and explore yourself in greater detail, documentaries? Or?
Yeah, I think I've made a couple throughout college and stuff like that. I've made a couple of different kind of small documentaries, but this was kind of a big independent production on my own, and it was great to do it. And of course, I thanked Connie Broderick and Joe McGill of Kerry College of Further Education, who helped me with the project, and the Spa GA team and Radio Kerry. But yeah, it's definitely something in the future I would like to go down and maybe make a few more radio documentaries and hopefully have them played on Terrace Talk, you never know.
Oh, absolutely. Jesus. Especially when we're in a hurry, there's no panic. Ivan looks very comfortable there, doesn't he?
He does, I'd say, you know, might suit him, could be a new role for him.
I'm away there in 2 weeks' time, like if you're available, you could nearly do a Terrace Talk.
Maybe, you know, myself and Ivan might switch it up. Ivan's normally the producer and I'm the desk op. Maybe I'll produce and present and Ivan will desk op for the 2 hours, but it mightn't go that well, you never know, unfortunately.
Absolutely, and you're both kind of Clarny men now as well, aren't you?
Yeah, technically, yeah, I live in North Kerry, but both my parents are from Clarny originally.
Oh, fair play. Spa people.
Spa and Addo. My mom's from Addo. Oh.
Is she a Crokes or Legion fan?
Neither, I think Fossa.
Oh, worse again, huh? Good stuff. Listen, thanks very much. Tonight, thanks very much for being a guest, Keane Doherty, with no O, apart from in the Doherty part of it. Ivan, great job on the desk. Fair play to you. Up next, Mary, she's arrived in Toksos. She's getting all her CDs out there, one after the other. I saw the Furies and Davy Arthur. I think they're on tonight. Stay and listen to it. Thanks to all the guests who turned up this evening. Great show as normal. Big congratulations once more to St. Cairns. And listen, there's plenty of games at the weekend in the Senior Football Championship. Get out and support your club or district. We'll do it all again next week.